This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, hosting its 22nd anniversary celebration and the grand opening of Gazelle Full Circle Resale, also featuring 100% natural fiber clothing for women and men. Both events run June 16th through 25th. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont. Information at 503-288-3422.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
In New Orleans, the federal government, despite our huge housing problems, just announced that they are going to destroy 5,000 public housing apartments, and the residents are upset, the community is upset, and it's really time for a fight.
Why is the federal government eliminating thousands of public housing units in New Orleans, while tens of thousands of residents remain displaced? Also, we'll look at the public school system in New Orleans, where all the teachers have been fired and the school board refuses to negotiate with the teachers union. But first, we go to Afghanistan, where U.S.-led forces have launched their largest military offensive since the fall of the Taliban. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The so-called coalition of the willing in Iraq is continuing to shrink. The Japanese Prime Minister has announced plans to pull 600 troops out of Iraq within weeks. Italy's already said it'll remove its troops by year's end. Spain, the Netherlands, Ukraine, Nicaragua, Philippines, and Honduras have already pulled out. Once Italian troops leave, Britain and South Korea will be the only nation besides the United States to have more than 1,000 troops in Iraq. In other news from Iraq, the two U.S. soldiers missing since Friday have been found dead south of Baghdad. Christian Menchaca of Houston, Texas, and Thomas Tucker of Oregon were the first U.S. soldiers to have been reported missing in action in Iraq in 2 years. A group with ties to al-Qaeda in Iraq called the Mujahideen Shura Council had claimed responsibility for kidnapping the men. Three U.S. soldiers have been charged in connection with the killing of three Iraqi detainees last month in the town of Tharthar Canal. The soldiers, all members of the 101st Airborne Division, reportedly detained three Iraqis during a raid on a former chemical factory. Then the soldiers allowed the Iraqis to flee the scene so they would have an excuse to shoot them. The men are also accused of threatening to kill another soldier if he assisted investigators. Meanwhile, there are reports coming out of the Iraqi city of Baquba that U.S. forces killed 13 Iraqis working in poultry farms during an overnight raid. An Iraqi police officer said the workers were sleeping on the roof of their houses. Four others were wounded in the raid, and 10 people were arrested. Earlier today in Baghdad, a car bomb exploded in a crowded market. 7 people died. 18 people were wounded. In Italy, federal prosecutors are calling for a U.S. Marine to stand trial for the killing of Italian intelligence officer Niccolo Calipari in Baghdad last year. Calipari was escorting Italian journalist Giuliana Screna after she had been released by kidnappers. U.S. troops opened fire on their car, killing Calipari and injuring Screna. The U.S. Marine charged with the killings has been identified as Mario Lozano. Tune into Democracy Now! Thursday when Italian journalist Giuliana Screna joins us in our Firehouse studio. The U.S. Supreme Court has moved a step closer to rolling back the Clean Water Act. A divided court said the landmark 1972 law should only apply to wetlands with a close connection to a river, lake, or some other major waterway. The court was split three ways. Four justices, led by Antonin Scalia, argued to sharply restrict the definition of wetlands. Four justices argued for upholding the law as is, and in the middle was Justice Anthony Kennedy, who argued the law may have been misinterpreted, but he upheld federal control over most wetlands. Kennedy argued that Justice Scalia's opinion was unduly dismissive of the importance of wetlands. Kennedy went on to say Scalia's view was inconsistent with the text, structure, and purpose of the Clean Water Act. The Washington Post is reporting the Bush administration ignored an offer from Iran in 2003 to cooperate on a number of key issues now at the center of the dispute between the two nations. According to the report, Iran offered to fully cooperate on its nuclear program, recognize the State of Israel, and terminate support for Palestinian militant groups. Iran sent the offer just weeks after the U.S. invaded Iraq. The Bush administration belittled the offer and formally complained to the Swiss ambassador for sending the proposal along. Meanwhile, on Monday, President Bush warned Iran again that it will face tough sanctions if it rejects a new offer from the U.S. and European nations to rejoin nuclear talks.
If Iran's leaders reject our offer, it will result in action before the Security Council, further isolation from the world, and progressively stronger political and economic sanctions. I have a message for the Iranian regime. America and our partners are united. We have presented a reasonable offer. Iran's leaders should see our proposal for what it is, an historic opportunity to set their country on a better course.
The United States, Japan, Australia, and South Korea are all warning North Korea not to proceed with test firing a long-range ballistic missile. This is Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
So it would be a very serious matter and indeed a provocative act should North Korea decide to launch that missile.
North Korea has responded by lashing out at the Bush administration for moving ahead with plans to build a missile shield. North Korea said the Star Wars-like program could fuel a dangerous arms race in space. In other news from the region, 22,000 U.S. troops and 280 aircraft are taking part in stage war games today in the Western Pacific. The Bush administration is pressuring Latin American nations to prevent Venezuela from securing an open seat on the United Nations Security Council. Under UN rules, Latin American governments are entitled to pick a country from the region to fill the rotating seat that comes open next year. The Los Angeles Times reports the U.S. fears the selection of Venezuela might confound the Bush administration's plans to step up pressure on Iran. U.S. diplomats are threatening nations like Chile with withdrawing support for key projects if they back the selection of Venezuela. One Chilean newspaper reported Secretary of State Rice told her Chilean counterpart that a vote for Venezuela would lump Chile with a group of losers. Brazil, Argentina, Cuba, Bolivia, Uruguay, Paraguay, and several Caribbean nations have already backed Venezuela. The U.S. is lobbying for Guatemala to get the U.N. seat. The BBC has obtained evidence that Afghanistan's intelligence services are putting new restrictions on what Afghan journalists can report. According to a leaked memo, Afghan journalists are no longer allowed to criticize the U.S.-led military coalition or publish interviews against the government's foreign policy. The Afghan media has also been instructed to limit the coverage dedicated to the activities of militants, and there are now prohibitions on interviewing, filming, or photographing men considered terrorist commanders. The government maintains the restrictions are needed to prevent the media from what it describes as glorifying terrorism. A spokesperson for the U.S.-backed President Hamid Karzai said, quote, "This request is entirely consistent with the principles of the freedoms of speech and press enshrined in the Constitution." One news agency chief said 95% of his stories would be banned if these rules and regulations become law. The Knight Ridder News Agency is reporting the Department of Veterans Affairs is on a pace to see nearly 20,000 new cases of post-combat stress this year among service members who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is more than six times the number of cases that officials had expected. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting thousands of Vietnam veterans are now seeking help for post-traumatic stress disorder, more than 30 years after their war ended. Experts say one reason appears to be harrowing images of combat in Iraq. This news from Africa. Charles Taylor, the former president of Liberia, has been flown out of Sierra Leone to go on trial for war crimes at The Hague. He faces 11 war crimes charges for backing rebels in the decade-long Sierra Leone civil war that left tens of thousands dead. Last week, Britain offered to hold Taylor in prison if he's convicted by the International Criminal Court. Reports are coming out of the Middle East that Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert plan to meet for the first time on Wednesday in Jordan. On Monday, thousands of Palestinian workers were paid for the first time since March. The money largely came from private donations and Islamic charities. Here in this country, a coalition of consumer, civil rights, labor, and media reform groups are launching a new campaign today. The groups oppose rule changes that would allow large media corporations control to more TV channels, radio stations, and newspapers in communities across the country. The groups are launching a new website today called StopBigMedia.com. The campaign comes as the Federal Communications Commission is preparing to start a new rulemaking process this week that could result in the overhaul of the nation's media ownership rules. The advocacy groups maintain the relaxation of the rules would lead to more corporate consolidation, less competition, and fewer local voices in the media. The governor of Louisiana has ordered the National Guard to return to New Orleans to begin patrolling the city streets following an outbreak in violence. Over the weekend, six people were murdered, and New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin asked the governor for 300 soldiers and 60 state police officers to be deployed. Nagin said the troops are needed to restore law and order.
This is our line in the sand. We are saying we're not going any further.
Mayor Nagin also said the city is considering implementing a curfew for the city's youth. We'll have more on New Orleans later in the program. There's an update in the case of civil rights attorney Lynn Stewart. She's the New York attorney convicted of terror-related charges for her work representing the imprisoned client, Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. Stewart filed court papers Monday seeking to learn whether any warrantless or illegal electronic surveillance was conducted on her or anyone involved in her case. Stewart maintains the government's case against her would be compromised if it engaged in illegal surveillance. The Bush administration has already admitted it monitored jailhouse conversations between Stewart and her client. And in India, trash collectors in the city of Meerut are staging mass protests in an attempt to gain permanent jobs with benefits. The trash collectors have begun dumping garbage in the city streets and pelting the homes of government officials with filth. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.